Ed said earlier, I am going to be talking about our gospel meeting, which begins on Friday night, but I got a couple of quick announcements I want to make. Philip, Bunny's not here, right? I don't see her. And one of the announcements that need to add to your sick list, Bunny's mother was taken to the hospital, and Bunny has been with her at the hospital this weekend. She's got a blockage, and they've done tests, and I think she's supposed to get the results from that test back on Wednesday. So you may want to check with her and see how her mom is doing. For those of you that come to the movie night, you know she comes and has been fairly regular to be there at our movie night and discussion. And so, nice lady, make sure you check on her. Also, wanted to make mention, put something, or at least began putting something new on Michael's Corner that will have to do with our theme this year. And just going to kind of put sort of an agenda on there, an outline of what we're doing. We'll be adding to that as Wes and I tweak that. We'll be adding to that quite a bit. So check back often. If you go to Michael's Corner, there's a page, A Year with Jesus, and a drop-down menu for each quarter. And so check that out, and you can kind of keep up with what we're doing, including lessons that we plan to coordinate with the theme. But this morning I want us to talk about our kickoff meeting, our gospel meeting that we're going to have with Jeff that will begin this Friday night. And as we consider our gospel meeting, of course, as I said, it will begin Friday night. And for those that may not be familiar, some of you that been around here for a while, you probably are familiar with Jeff. He's preached here before. He's preached in other churches around here. But if you're not familiar with him, I want to tell you a little bit about him. Now, Jeff is kind of special to me, and many of you know that, because Jeff introduced me to the gospel. And it wasn't so much by what he said, because that was really simple, but it was what he did, and I want to tell you a little bit about that. Last week, Wes used the passage in John 1, where you have a couple of different people who basically don't say a whole lot, but they challenge another individual. For example, Andrew challenges Peter to check out what he's just learned. I've found Jesus, I've found the Messiah, I've found something new, check it out, or come and see. And Wes used the passage in John 1 and John 4 to emphasize that, and I thought that was really good. When I think back to Jeff and myself in high school, that's exactly what I think of. Now, you have to understand, I'm not going to go much into this. A lot of you know my story. And I was kind of rough in high school, to say the least. And Jeff was not. So we were as opposite as two people could be. My first meeting with Jeff was in gym class, or PE class, we called it, physical education class. They moved into the area. I had that class with Jeff, and Jeff was different, like TJ was talking about this morning. Unconventional would definitely be the word. And I took notice of that and laughed at that, at how different he was. But I found that where many of what I would have called back then, I usually didn't use terms like nerd, but I used the term straight-laced quite a bit. And many people who were straight-laced were very turned off by me and didn't want much to do with me. Jeff was different. And Jeff treated me like a normal human being. That in itself was different. And then one day, he and I stayed after for this project with this teacher. And the teacher asked him if he minded dropping me off, giving me a ride home. I had to get to work and that kind of thing. And so Jeff said he'd be glad to do that. I thought that was strange to start with because, you know, why would this guy care to give me a ride home, you know? But he did. And I got in the car, and there were some tracks on the dash, and I've told you this story before. It was a track written by his dad. And so Jeff said, take one. Take it home and read it. So I did. And that's what started my being here today. Now, you know, when you think about that, you think about the elements of doing what he did. And think about our gospel meeting. You don't have to say a lot. Jeff never engaged me in a conversation and said, let's study the Bible together. He didn't do that. He didn't attack what I was and what I was doing and even all the things that you could see. Other people did, but Jeff didn't. There was something far more important there, and what was more important was that I be a Christian, that I learn the truth, and that I come to obey God. Jeff showed me that by the way he lived, and I was impressed with it. And that's why I considered what he said. And I still do to this day, because I respect him. I look up to him. He's a year older than me, so he's kind of like the big brother image. But I look up to him as I began doing all the way back then. And I respect him very much. And you know, I thought about last week when Wes was preaching. I thought about Jeff and some of the things that he did. You know, having a track laying on the dashboard of your car is not a hard thing to do. When someone takes notice of it, takes notice of the title, and you realize that, and you just simply say, take one of them, take it home and read it. That's not something that's hard to do. When you have a gospel meeting or a meeting of the church, and you say to someone, why don't you come and check it out? And this is exactly what Jeff went on to do several times, you know. Be glad to come by and pick you up if you want to go to church with me, that kind of thing. It was very simple in what Jeff did, but it was enough to bring me into contact with the truth. And we can all do that. We've got a gospel meeting coming. I assure you, I know this guy and I know him very well. If there's someone out there that you know needs the Lord, they need to come to Jesus, they won't be offended by what he says. They won't be turned off by what he says or what he does. This will be someone you can bring them to hear. They'll learn things about the Lord. They will see in the way he conducts himself what a Christian is supposed to be. It will be a good thing for you to bring them. And we can all do that. We can invite someone to come. It's very simple. It's very low key. It's very laid back. Now, as we're thinking about that, what we should understand is what we're saying to people, and really what he was saying to me a long time ago is, I have found Christ. That's not an arrogant statement. It wasn't when, you know, Andrew or Philip made it. It wasn't when the Samaritan woman made it. It's not an arrogant statement to say, I found Jesus or I found Christ. Or if you don't feel comfortable saying it that way, say, you know, in our terminology today, I've really found something special. Or I've come in contact with something that's different and it's really good, that's helpful. All those kinds of things. And it's designed to say to someone, and when I say designed, I don't mean anything, deceitful about it. It is to say to someone that what you have is very important and it can help them. And all you're simply saying to somebody is, come check it out. Come and see. Why do we have gospel meetings? Why will we have this one next weekend? Well, we've already said, we've got a theme for 2013, a year with Jesus, or spending a year with Jesus, or whatever. We're going to kick that off. We're going to kind of start it with this gospel meeting. In one sense, Wes did last Sunday. In another sense, I guess I am today. But officially, we're going to kick that off, and Jeff is going to really introduce what we're going to be doing each quarter and all of that kind of thing. He's going to do that in some lessons this weekend, as he talks about what we will emphasize each quarter of this year and the topics, the material, etc. But why do we have gospel meetings? Well, I would suggest to you the two reasons. You have a gospel meeting, first of all, to reach out to those who are not Christians. And you do that, of course, by having lessons in where you stress the basics of the gospel, or sometimes we call them first principles, or you stress and teach the identity of the local church. In other words, to say that simply, you have gospel meetings in which you teach people who we are, what we do, what we are about. And more than anything else, what we are about is following Jesus, looking at Jesus to see who he is and trying to emulate that. And as simply as possible, that's what you're saying. Be like Christ. In another sense, in the sense that Paul meant it when he said it in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, you're saying, be like me because I am like Christ. Now that puts a great responsibility on you. And maybe you look at yourself and you say, there's no way I would tell somebody to be like me. Well, if you're saying that from a humble point of view, then that's great. If you're saying that from the point of view that I know there's a lot that's wrong with me and it needs to change, then you need to change that. But what you're really saying to people is, there's something very important in life. There is Jesus Christ, and you need Him. You need Him in your life, and you need to be like Him. And so we stress that in meeting. Another thing that we do is we edify or strengthen the people who are already here. It's not simply to just reach out into the community and try to draw every lost person into this place to hear the gospel. That would be great. But it is also to strengthen, to build up, to edify, as it were, the members that are here. And that's one of the main reasons we'll have this theme this year. We will do some of the other. But one of the main things we're trying to do is to edify, build up the members that are here. And Jeff is going to introduce this theme for 2013. And as I said, he's going to focus on what we will emphasize each quarter. Now, Sunday night, you'll have a question and answer period. And kind of like if you remember the sermon I did back a couple months ago on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and you submitted questions and I answered them. Well, during the weekend, if you've got questions, write them down. And we encourage you to do that. We want to do that. And submit them. Jeff will take those questions. He'll answer them in the Sunday night lesson. And I'm sure that some of the personal concerns or questions or whatever observations you have, Jeff will do a good job addressing that. Secondly, obviously, we'll gain just from being here. As Christians get together, as they come together and they share in worshiping the Lord, they grow. It's very important for you to come to this gospel meeting. It's very important for you to be here. When we have them, it's important for you to set that time aside and to look at it not as this is, you know, the drudgery of I've got to go to a gospel meeting and I've got to go to services Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and boy, that's eating into my time. If that's the way you're looking at it, it's not going to help you very much. But on the other hand, if you're looking at it as a time and opportunity that you have to really concentrate on the Lord, because that's what this is about, a year with Jesus, to concentrate on His life and different aspects of His life, to look into those things and listen to those things Jeff will be saying, and think in terms of how this can help you in your life, of what it can do for you to make your life better. If you come with that attitude, you'll get a lot out of it. And there will be things said that will provoke you and prod you and encourage you to do better, to be better, to live better, and I would even say to enjoy your life better. I know when I came to my friendship with Jeff and then eventually with his family, I was not a happy person. I mean, at all. There were a lot of things that were wrong in my life. There were a lot of things that I felt bad about. And that's good. You know, when you're doing wrong and you feel bad about it, be thankful to God for that. There are also a lot of things that I just didn't know. Things that help you. Things that change you. Things that make you feel better about you. All of that kind of thing Jeff will be talking about this weekend. That's why we have gospel meetings. Look with me, if you will, again, and I'm not going to read the whole passage that was read for us a moment ago, but let's look at the last verse there in 2 Peter 3. After talking about the judgment, after saying that God is long-suffering, long-tempered, after saying that that accounts for our salvation because God gives us time, after saying that we learn from the Word of God. And some things are hard to understand. Peter admitted that, especially some of those things written by Paul. After saying all of that, Peter acknowledges that it is easy even for Christians, and you'll notice the book in chapter 1 and verse 1 is addressed to members of the church. But he acknowledges in verse 17, if you'll notice, that even though you know these things, you know all that I've just said to you, is what he's saying. You also know and you are aware, and you need to be aware, or you need to beware, lest you're led away by the very error of the wicked, the King James says. Things like T.J. was talking about. The unconventional, or rather, the conventional wisdom of the world. Lest you're led away by that, and you fall. Peter then says in verse 18, and let's look at it, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what 2013 is going to be about, at least as we focus on it from our teaching. We have a Savior, and we have a Lord. His name is Jesus. We want to spend time emphasizing that. We want to talk about that. But you'll notice what it says here. You have to grow in knowledge. You have to learn of Him. You have to know Him. You have to come to know Him. It's like you get to know a friend, or you get to know someone that becomes your spouse, your loved one. You get to know a child, and a child gets to know you. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. I mean, if you're going to have a close friendship, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to give some things toward that, and so is the other person. That's what it means to come to know someone. To grow in the knowledge of Jesus is to learn Him, to know Him. Notice what it also says in verse 18, though. Grow in grace, or grow in favor. As you come closer and closer to someone, in other words, as you come closer to your friend and your friendship grows, they grow in favor with you and you do with them. You come to be very special to another person. And when they think of you and they hear your name, immediately it conjures up those emotions they have towards you. And likewise, it's the same for you. If you think of your child, or you think of your husband, your wife, your close friend, all you have to simply do is have a thought or hear their name, and immediately a flood of emotions comes forth. Now, if that's not happening when you hear the name Jesus, then you need to grow. You need to grow in knowledge of Him. You need to get closer to Him. You need to grow in favor with Him, and He needs to grow in favor with you. You need to come to favor. But there's something else as well. We have gospel meetings because we understand the Word of God, the teaching of it, how important it is. I want you to go with me to Psalm 119. Now, verse 105 is a very familiar verse, but read, if you will, Psalm 119, and let's start back a couple of verses before that, if I can get to the right stanza. Let's start back with the stanza, or the verse of Mem here, if it's marked in your Bible, and that starts in verse 97. David makes a very strange statement. Generally, we think of law as restriction. It's against the law to do this. It's against the law to do that. And when it comes to the Word of God, many people do not want to think of law, because they don't want to think in terms of being confined or restricted or what they can't do. As a matter of fact, and I'll just tell you, once I came to believe in God and I came to believe in the Bible, I flatly told Dale that the Bible to me was a bunch of thou shalt and thou shalt nots, and I just didn't want any part of it anymore. And we continue to talk about it, you know, obviously. But it's a viewpoint of law. Now, I want you to listen to David as he says here, and this is one of my favorite passages, and as far as law is concerned, it is my very favorite. David says, "Oh, how love I thy law." There's been a time in my life when I've read that and wondered how anyone could make that statement, but I understand it now. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now you notice, he's not simply talking about your Bible reading here. He's talking about what is so much a part of you that you carry it with you all day, every day, and you think about it. You mull it over. Remember that lesson we had? You mull it over in your mind. You cogitate it, etc. "It is my meditation all the day." And then he says, "Thou, God, you, through your commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies." Not an arrogant statement. He's not trying to say I'm smarter than everybody around me. But what he is saying is, I'm wiser than people in the world. When I look around and I see people that are so wise and know so much and yet know nothing because they do not know God, I know that understanding who I am and what I am makes me wiser than everybody around me. And you'll notice he says that. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me, but I have understanding. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, he says, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Now start in verse 100 and let's look deeper into what went on in David's mind. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Now that's something that's very important. It is not enough for me to know book, chapter, and verse of what's in the Bible. I'm convinced, and if you think I'm wrong, you please come to me and talk to me about this. I'm convinced that there are many members of the church who know the Bible better than most people in the world. Maybe perhaps than 99%+ of the people in the world, they know the Bible. While there are so many people out in the world that if you threw statements out, they wouldn't know if it was the Bible or Shakespeare or Robert Frost or whomever. Members of the church know the Bible. They know what's in it. They studied it. They've been to Bible classes, etc. But that doesn't mean that they are Christians. And it doesn't mean that they live what's in the Bible. There's a vast difference to knowing what's in there, being able to quote it, or let's just be fair about it, being able to stand up in a pulpit and preach it. A vast difference between that and living it. David is not just simply saying, I study the Bible. David is saying, I live it. David says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I keep what is in the Bible. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. When we talk about spending a year with Jesus, when we talk about having gospel meetings or anything that will contribute to that, we are not merely talking about teaching ourselves or having someone come in and tell us things that we already know. I never have, in the whole time I've ever known Jeff, I never have known him to be a person that simply taught the Bible. Whether you disagree with him or not, and I've disagreed with him about things, but whether you do or not, one thing you know is that he lives what he studies. And I think that's far more important. The studying is great. The growing in knowledge is fantastic. But that's not what the verse begins with, is it? 2 Peter 3 says, grow in grace. And the only way to do that is to live it. David said, I love your law. Why? Because I live your law. You understand, if all it is Bible study to tell you what's wrong in your life, and you have no intention or you don't change what's in your life, you will hate God's law. You will hate hearing it. You'll hate God telling you the way your life should be different. You will hate the fact that you come up short of what God says you have to have. You'll hate it. But if you live it, and if the changes, because you live it, the changes that are in your life make you feel better and better and better about yourself, about life, and about everyone around you, you will love it. And you'll crave it. You will not be able to live without it. You'll hunger for it and thirst for it. That's what David is saying. Now let's finish the reading here. Verse 102, I've not departed from your judgments. They've taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, they're sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And then the verse everyone knows, thy word then is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I carry it with me all the time. It shows me the way to go. It lights my direction. And I follow it. That's exactly what David is teaching us here, and that's why David loved the law. Why do we have gospel meetings? So we can be like that. So we can come to the point where we understand more and apply it to our lives. Now, is there New Testament precedent for it? Yeah. A person once said to me, I never read the term gospel meeting in the New Testament. That's right. You never read the term car in the New Testament, and you drive one to church. But is the principle of having a gospel meeting in the New Testament? Well, sure it is. Brethren have met together as we will meet together. I mean, what is a gospel meeting? We come together as members of the church for an extended period of time. It's extended throughout the weekend. And we concentrate our thinking on the teaching that's being done. Did brethren do that? Of course they did that. We see a number of examples. We start in Acts chapter 2. And you can turn there in Acts chapter 2, and you can see in verse 41, after Peter preached, that about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. They were baptized. And then it tells us immediately in verse 42, notice, they continued in the apostles' doctrine or in the apostles' teaching. They continued to learn. The apostles were teaching, and they remained there. And if you understand that whole scenario, they had come to Jerusalem to go to the feast, probably a Passover and Pentecost. Or if they lived close by, they came for one, went home, came back for that one 50 days later. But the point is, every Jew that did not live in Jerusalem, all that category of people you see in Acts 2, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and on it went, strangers of Rome, all of those people intended to come for a temporary stay. They intended to come to observe the feast days and go home. But they didn't go home. They stayed. Now, why did they stay? Because they needed to learn. They needed the knowledge of Jesus. They had just obeyed the gospel. They had just become Christians. They had been baptized into Christ. But they didn't know Him to the extent they needed to know Him. And so they continued. Look down at verse 46. They continued daily. They met together daily. That's exactly what we'll do this weekend. We'll meet together on Friday. We'll come back on Saturday. We'll come back on Sunday. We will be doing exactly, at least for this weekend, exactly what they were doing in the first century. And I know there are a number of you that take advantage. There was all kinds of classes going on, Bible studies going on. And you can ask Wes or me at any time, or someone else here. And people will be glad to study the Bible with you. And there are some of you that take advantage of that so that you get together quite a bit. That's exactly what Christians did. As we continue to look at other examples, you'll notice, if you will, turn over with me to Acts 10. And I find this interesting how so many of these stories, you tend to read over this. But let me choose a couple of them. In Acts 10, remember, Peter went and visited the household of Cornelius. Bunch of Gentiles. And he taught them. And the Bible teaches us in verses 44 through 47, they were baptized. Look at verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized that have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? But look at the next verse. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they, the King James says, or they besought, or they begged, they implored, etc., different translations say, they wanted him to stay, notice, certain days. Why? Well, they had obeyed the gospel, just like the people on the day of Pentecost. They didn't know a lot about Jesus, and Peter could teach them. They spent days meeting together, learning about Jesus. If you want to see a similar example to that, look at Acts chapter 14. We talk about the West first missionary journey. That everybody knows I call the second. But anyway, if you're listening to the tape, no, I'm not out of my mind. There's a reason for that. But Acts 14, on this missionary journey, remember that they went to these places, Antioch and Pisidia, and Lystra and Iconium and Derbe. But look down at verses 21 and 22. When they had preached the gospel, verse 21, to that city and taught many, they went again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Why were they doing that? Notice verse 22. They were confirming the souls of the disciples. They were exhorting them to continue in the faith. That's one of the main reasons we have gospel meetings. That's one of the things we'll be doing this weekend. If you're not a Christian, if you've never obeyed the gospel, the opportunity will be there all 3 days for you to be baptized into the Lord, just like these people in Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, etc. Just like those people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Just like the household of Cornelius. But if you are baptized into the Lord, the opportunity will also be there for our souls to be confirmed, for us to be encouraged to be closer to Jesus, to learn more about Jesus. And you always can. God is so much greater than we are. I was thinking a lot about this while TJ was talking, and I really appreciated those comments, and I thank you for that. But I was thinking so much about how easy it is, especially when you do what I do, to get to the point where you sort of are aware and you think you know, and then to step back for a minute and realize just how much you don't know. God is so much greater than we are. He does things so much differently than we do. And we spend our lives, our whole lifetime, trying to understand what motivates God to do what He does. Trying to understand what it means to be like Him. We spend our lives doing that. And that's why we have things like this gospel meeting this weekend. That's why we're spending the year with Jesus. Because we want to look again. What have I not seen? What have I missed? What is it that hasn't struck me in a certain way? Yes, I know the story of, you know, what, like tonight we'll talk about the woman who was taken in adultery, taken in the very act. That's the story I'm going to operate from tonight in the lesson. Yes, I know that story. And yes, I know what it says in each verse, but what have I not seen? Because God is so much greater. Jesus is so much greater. This is not just another man. This is the Son of God. And there is so much to Him. That's why when we get together, that's what we want to understand. That's why we want our souls to be confirmed. We want to be like David was talking about. We want to get to the point where we love the law of God, the Word of God. Not because we love book, chapter, and verse, and it tells me I can't do this and I can't do that, or I have to do this and I have to do that. That's not why I love it. I love it because I get closer to the Son of God and because I'm a better person for it. I mean, be honest with yourself. Do you stay with friends? Do you keep close friendships? Do you try to get closer to people who make you a worse person? And if you do, and I know a lot of people do, do you get more and more frustrated with that? Do you get to the point where you're worn out on that? This is not good for me. This is not doing. This doesn't make me feel good. But on the other hand, if you've got a relationship with someone that helps you, that makes you better, that makes you feel good about you, that does something for you, contributes positively to you. I mean, is that not a friendship that you long for? And you want to, every moment you can spare, you want that. That's the way we are as human beings. Why are we that way? Because God created us to be that way with Him. You give Jesus a chance, and you get closer to Jesus, that's what that getting closer to Jesus will do for you. And that's why we try to do this year. Notice again, I won't go to this one, but in Acts 20, same kind of thing. Paul met with the church on the first day of the week. That's our example for taking the Lord's Supper. We see that in verse 7. But we also realize he stayed there all day. And in fact, that night he was still preaching. Preached so long, the dude fell out of the window. Remember that? Broke his neck. Paul raised him from the dead. They ate some food. They got back together and talked all the way into the night. Why were they doing that? Because Paul could help them be closer to Jesus. That's why we have gospel meetings. Our kickoff meeting with Jeff begins this weekend. And I'm going to say it like this. I personally want to encourage you to be part of it. I want you to be here. Not just because this guy's my friend, and he is. Not just because I have a lot of respect for him, and I do. But I want you to be here because of what it can do for you. If you will make the effort and be here. Spend the weekend concentrating on Jesus. You will be better for having done that. I want to encourage you to be here this Friday night at 7:30. Let's make it a successful meeting. You be here. You invite someone to come with you. It's a simple thing. Just come and see. And let's fill this place up. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you know, you have an opportunity right now, just like some of those people we were talking about earlier. They heard the gospel. They knew Jesus was the Son of God and they believed that. They were willing to change their lives. They may not have known what that entailed, and I'm sure they did not know all of that. But they knew they wanted to change their lives, and they knew that they were willing, whatever it took, to be a Christian. They wanted that for themselves, and they wanted a different life. And because they did, they were willing to obey God. God commanded them to be baptized, so they were baptized for forgiveness of their sins. And they began their life as a Christian. Now, from time to time, an individual, once they've been baptized, strays from the truth. We see Simon the sorcerer stray from the truth. We see the Apostle Peter stray from the truth. And sometimes you have to check yourself and you have to come back and say, you know what, I've been wrong and I need you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me or pray together with me. I'm repenting of what I'm doing. I want to change and get back on track. If you're here today and you need to do that, then we beg you to please come while Edward leads us in this song.